the supplementing and complementing that that is our role. And so we've also worked on providing, for some reason, the world has very odd things in it, and one of them seems to be that a t-shirt gets considered to be like a uniform or something, and the commission isn't able to provide that in that way. So for the Project Independence for Kids, we have been providing t-shirts. We think they're a really good idea. You know, it's good PR. It's good for kids to have the same kind of shirt, and when they go out and do things in the public, then they're identified as a group doing cool things. And so in 2016, 2017, 2018, and 2019, we have provided the t-shirts for Project Independence. And we like hearing back from kids, you know, what they learned, how they felt about it, and things like that. We have had good feedback from both of our bee and ants participants. And so we hope that we can continue to do things like this or things that are similar. We're always open for ideas, ways that we can continue to make an impact on blind people throughout the state. And you know, we're grateful to be able to talk to you as the Board of Commissioners about what we're doing. And like I said, we're always open to ideas for things that we could work on. These are the ones that Robert specifically asked me to talk about.
Do you want me to just pass it to Chris?
Sure.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and Commissioners. I am Chris Boone, and I was trying to remember when I joined the Friends of the Commission. I know that I became president after Michael Floyd, and I served until Robert. So I believe that it was, it might have actually been in about 2004, but I'm not certain. Anyway, it's been an honor to be a friend over the years and to get to work with Joe, who has been a stalwart supporter and a constant presence on the commission, as has Dan Hurlburt. And Joe, Floyd Colon has been on the Friends for a long, long time too, right?
Yes.
From the beginning?
Yes.
Yes, okay, that's what I thought. So these three gentlemen have supported us all through the years, which is really awesome. One of the things that happened early was that the Friends established an emergency grant to assist people attending the training center here in Lincoln or people who were clients of the commission anywhere else in Nebraska, that if they needed something, the executive director, so Pearl and then Carlos, would bring that to us. That emergency grant still exists, and the executive director can come to the commission and let us know that someone needs, Robert touched on this, medication or some money for activities, for example, in the training center, and the Friends can provide that. Dan has invested our money very wisely, which is really awesome. And one of the things that benefits us is that we are a nonprofit organization, so we don't have to pay taxes. And once upon a time, in 2010, the IRS suddenly decided that we were not a nonprofit. We have no idea why, but Dan has always faithfully filed our 990 forms and filed our taxes, and he's really responsible about that kind of thing, being an investment advisor and a good guy. And suddenly he says to us, guys, they don't think we're a nonprofit anymore. So he wrote a couple letters to the IRS, and the IRS, being the friendly folks that they are, didn't care at all about that. And so I, as some of you know, I'm a recovering lawyer. It's not one of my favorite things to do. I like to use my law degree for other good things, and practicing law these days doesn't have a lot of good about it. But I dusted off my little hat and I wrote a letter that Dan gives me such a hard time because he says it was so scathing and it made me sound like this big, mean, powerful lawyer, which I'm so not. But this nice man in Cincinnati called me up, David Slaughter. Isn't that a great name? Slaughter from the IRS. I'm Slaughter and I'm from the IRS. So we had some conversation and our nonprofit status got restored. So we, Senator Mike Johans helped us tremendously with that because I contacted his office and he put me in touch with Mr. Slaughter, and the friends helped me with that. Joe and Dan were super encouraging because it's kind of scary to go and talk to the IRS. They're the only people around who can take anything away from us without due process and so on and so forth. So that was a great thing that we got done. Then, in more recent years, we began to reach out and interact with other organizations to try to get more accomplished. And one of the really exciting things that we did this year was to work with the Commission and Nebraska VR, which is the agency, for anyone who doesn't know, I know all you guys do know, the agency serving people with disabilities other than blindness, to help with the Project Search job fair. And Project Search is an operation that was started in Ohio, and the project is designed to help people with disabilities to get internships. And a lot of employers participate in Project Search. Marriott, the DoubleTree, CVS, and here in Nebraska, Hy-Vee, Runza, one of the hospitals does, and some companies that do auto mechanics. All kinds of organizations with jobs all across the spectrum of employment. In the hospitality industry alone, you can have jobs in food service and concierge and cleaning and front desk work and lots of others that I haven't even thought of, HVAC repair and that sort of thing. And so young people who are finishing high school get to have internships with these various companies, and they are paid internships. And if a person is successful in completing their internship, then they will be offered a job by the organization with which they are working. There's a tremendous success rate in job search. So Project Search has a large job fair every year. It happened in Lincoln this year on April 30th. At the Lancaster Event Center. And all of the employers I mentioned and a number of others were there, and they all set up workstations. The Project Search Job Fair was attended by 200 young people approximately, and these are high school students, juniors and seniors primarily, with all kinds of disabilities. They came, they got to have training in self-advocacy. Then they got to go and have some hands-on experience with all of these employers. For example, Runza had set up a station where you learn to fill a customer's order. You take the order, you wrap up the order, you give the order to the customer. Then there was a medical employer, and people got to assemble medical kits. There was a car detailing operation where you got to clean, do some vacuuming in a car and clean the windows. There were, there was a welding place where you had to bend some bars and obviously I don't know about all these jobs that were represented there, but that's not the point. The point is to give these young people an opportunity to see what is out there for them. Orshelms, or is it, anyway, there's a participant that is a sporting goods store, and so students can learn to fold merchandise and present merchandise in the store. Then there are keynote speakers, and there are also mock interviews that students participate in, and they are rated on how they perform during their interview. And then finally, there's a luncheon at the end. So this is a way to expose all of these guys to what Project Search is and the things that it offers. The Friends of the Commission, because we are a nonprofit, we are able to accept donations from places like West Pharmaceuticals, the Marriott Business Foundation, and others. And then we can use those donations to fund the Project Search job fair, which is expensive. It's expensive to bring all of these students here, to pay for the place where the job fair is held, to pay for the luncheon. And VR and the commission can cover some of those expenses, but for example, the commission can't buy any food. And it's also difficult for them to cover some of these other expenses. Also at the job fair, there are a number of employers and service providers who have booths that the students can visit and gather information. So we did that, and we are already working on next year's job fair, which is going to take place in Omaha. So we are approaching possible grantors, Walmart Corporation and others, hoping that we can raise additional funds for next year's career fair, because the more money we can raise, the larger the fair that we can help to present. So that's been really fun. And according to our treasurer, the more funds we have come into and go out of our treasury, the bigger we look and the more others then want to contribute to us. So that's a good thing for the Friends in terms of building our own treasury. Speaking of which, as you all know, these are really hard times for vocational rehabilitation everywhere in the country. And Carlos, the executive director, received his key this morning because of his excellent work in going to the legislature and helping to garner more funds for the commission. Still, the wise mothers and fathers in Washington have put some constraints on the funding that the commission gets, which makes it difficult to provide certain services for clients. So the Friends are embarking on a large fundraising campaign. And Carlos gave us the name of a gentleman in Blair, Nebraska, John Wick, who is now a member of the Friends. John has experience with fundraising, and he is going to be assisting us. We are building our fundraising portfolio with the assistance of the staff of the commission. And the portfolio consists of success stories from the training center, from Project Independence, and from the wages program that are examples of the commission's work and how successful it is. We are going to use those success stories and the library of photographs that the commission has, even a few short videos that show our clients doing really exciting things, clients working at a job site, clients participating in an activity that the public may not believe that blind people can successfully carry out. So once we have our portfolio assembled, then we as the Friends will be approaching organizations of all kinds and requesting funding for the commission. The three areas for which we are going to be requesting funding are Project Independence, because there is not, as you all know, money in the vocational rehabilitation program for people under the age of 14, but providing these kids with the skills they need is something that Nebraska has done for, gosh, as long as I've known about this agency, which is 37 years now, and really prepares these students for life. Also for wages, to help with things like the dormitory and meals for the students when they live in Lincoln to have their jobs, and also for activities within the training center that allow the students in the training center to practice the skills they're learning by participating in an activity in the community. And we also discussed just the other day in an excellent conversation we had with Carlos, raising some funds for technology, because even though the commission does purchase technology, it is tremendously expensive. And we are hoping that this campaign will allow us to raise tens of thousands of dollars for the 2021 budget. So that would be beginning in July of 2020. That is our most recent goal, challenge, and we're excited about it. And so those are the things that we're doing. I'll hand this back to Robert and be happy to answer questions.
Thank you.
All right, so thanks to Barbara and Chris and Mr. Joe. That's great, filling in some of the color of things that we've been doing. All right, so questions, comments, requests by anyone?
I have a question, Robert. Chris, so when you were talking about the job fair and booths that were employers would be, do they have some type of entry fee? I mean, or do they pay for their booths, or how does that work?
That's a really good question. They, and I don't think I have the answer to it.
Because, I do.
You do?
They don't charge.
They don't, okay. I didn't think so, but I didn't want to say. Okay. All right, so the employers are there because they want to be there. That's the really cool thing about Project Search, and Nancy and Connie have much more information than I do, but they are willing partners. All of these employers are willing partners in the process, which I think is really exciting.
Very good.
Well, I'd just like to say thank you for those that serve on the Friends of the Commission. I know our state, and Carlos does a great job of adhering to the law, and that's important that we spend money where we should and don't spend it where we shouldn't. And it's nice to know that there's a nonprofit and they're kind of financially filling in the gaps. And I know we all have a lot to do, but thank you for doing that. That's very admirable, and I applaud your efforts to do even more. The more money you have, the more you can do. And one of my biggest frustrations running a nonprofit is every nonprofit even has a mission, and there's times that you can't do things that are outside of your mission. So it's good that you guys are positioned to do those things, and so I just want to say thank you. You had mentioned Robert and Barb and Chris that you want to raise money. If someone gave you a considerable donation, where would you spend it? What would be your first priority? If you got a big, let's say you got $250,000, what would you do with that kind of money? Robert, you want to take that?
We would have a meeting, and then we would be pouring out ideas. Uh-huh. So at this point in time, I'm not so sure I would really like to because, part of the ANTS program of the seniors, one of the reasons we're keeping records is to be able to show the need. And so we were, at some points, we're talking, well, gee whiz, maybe we could hire someone to actually make this a bigger program, administrator, and try to get out to more seniors than what we've been able to reach. So that would be, a possibility. And I'm sure if I were to continue to pass this around, we'd get some other, because I'm sure I'm overlooking some other things that we have talked about. And I just want to slightly touch back on some of the things that Chris was talking about. Really, it was everything, just I guess as a point of clarification, it was really the staff of the the commission and the VR that put that whole thing together. We were just kind of a passive place for these monies to come in and temporarily be, and then go out to pay the bills. And then we actually put in some of our money for, you know, some water bottles and water and that kind of stuff. But of course, just Chris and Dan really did all the paperwork and then did all the talking with people, you know, to make sure that the money did come our way and did go out to where that it needed to go. So there's a lot of coordination on that particular level. But I just wanted to let you know that it was really the two agencies, their staff put that whole darn thing together, which was great. And we actually did something else like this back, I'm not sure how many years ago, when a group of people here in Lincoln wanted to bring the blind guy with the dog guy that was in the North Tower when it went down.
Michael Hanson.
So we again acted as the place where the monies would go and where the monies would go out. And then that gentleman, of course, did speak to our center staff, did, I think, talk to our staff at a staff meeting, as well as, you know, college students and high school students around the state. So that was really a good thing. So anyway, so anybody...
Can I say two more things?
You know, I just thought of one thing that you guys did I don't think you mentioned is, I know in past years when they had, like, commission had staff meetings, you guys were kind enough to provide some break coffee and donuts and things, so that's kind of shows the appreciation and support to the staff. I was just going to throw it over to Carlos. And what's your biggest frustration or biggest need that you see that you cannot financially fulfill with the funds that you're entrusted with through the state and federal government? Can I throw that over to Carlos?
Well, in general, we don't have enough. We just lay off folks and close office. But I don't think the question goes to that, right? I think legally speaking, like Chris mentioned, we're still tied on things. One of the frustrations we have is that we are mandated by the new PREATS regulations to spend 15% of our budget on areas of PREATS, very restricted, but we cannot use overhead for that. We cannot count tuition towards that. So all room and board for the programs, I argue with RSA saying, listen, for blind folks, in order for them to get a job, they need to be trained first. Mm-hmm. In order for them to be trained, they need to come to the center, they need to come to wages, programs like that. But we cannot charge room and board towards that 15%. Uh-huh. So that's one of the main things that I think will help. And I think that's what I communicated to the friends too.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
Carlos did communicate that to us, and that is really the impetus for our current fundraising. If we got $250,000, the other thing we would do is fund the three areas that we're looking at. For example, Project Independence this year had to be shortened because there wasn't enough money. So, and the commission, because they've never had any money, the staff is a little shy about asking for as much as they could really benefit from. So we would probably give about $20,000 to Project Independence, which would fund it for a couple of years. We would probably give about $30,000 or $40,000 to wages. Well, $40,000 would fund the room and board, you know, for a couple of years. And then we could give several thousand to the training center for activities. And yeah, how crazy is it that for PREATS, tuition can't be counted?
Wow.
So some of those things we would also provide. I apologize, I forgot to mention Mike Kingson, who walked down from the 82nd floor of the World Trade Center with his dog on September 11th. And that was really cool.
Any other questions?
We do have an open slot, so we're looking for somebody good.
Does Chad have a question? I think Chad.
Chad, do you have a question?
No, I was a part of the board too for a while before I started working, and it was awesome to be a part of it. It sounds like you guys have gotten a lot more intense on the things you're doing, and so congratulations and thank you guys.
Thanks, Chad.
Thank you, Chad. Well, I'm just going to talk a little bit more because I'm excited about what you're doing and that area that we just can't use public funds for that are very, very critical. And I hope someday you guys are able to become a fundraising machine and just be able to really put the money where it's needed because we live in a society now where the public funds can't do everything. So. As blind people and friends of blind people, we need to keep that awareness out there. And you guys are uniquely positioned where I think you can fundraise because you don't necessarily have a political philosophy other than, well, we want to help the commission, help the blind people. So I think you are uniquely positioned. And, you know, someday I'm the president of the Omaha Association of Blind, and maybe someday I'd like to have some blind people raise money and give it to you guys so that you can put it in the right place. So,
all right.
We would love that question.
Yeah, thank you.